This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Happy birthday!
Right?
Darling, of course! Naturally!
You look
fabulous, of course.
We heard about your big birthday celebration.
Yeah, you mean this morning?
No. Oh, you had one today, too?
Oh, yeah, I had one today, this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You see my bracelets? My daughter made it. Isn't that cool?
She made it to go with the necklace, or did she make the necklace?
She just made it. It's odd that it went with the necklace. Go figure. But anyway, yeah, I had a lot of fun this morning with my kids.
We just heard about your birthday on the set.
Oh, on the set. Yeah, that was different. That was work. That's always different.
I hope you like salt.
The salt.
What? The salt. Oh, of course, you know, I feel strongly about salt.
That's what Laura was saying.
Yeah. Did you see her? Is she here?
Yeah.
Oh, she's funny. Yeah, she's a good person to have an interview with.
Now, this woman is exasperatingly annoying.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, and you've played a few exasperatingly annoying women.
Yeah, I've mastered it.
How hard is it for you to find a character that is different from some of the
other exasperatingly annoying characters?
And why did you want to play another exasperating, the annoying mother?
Well, there you go. I mean, there's no reason at all. I mean, what can I say to that except I have no excuse. It's just that's what it is. Nothing to say.
What was it about her that you felt you could tap into or you found interesting?
Well, you tell me. You saw it. I mean, I just thought it was funny. And what else am I going to do with my life? I mean, I'm happy to perform, and I thought it was funny.
Is it hard to find characters to play?
That aren't exasperatingly annoyingly?
Well, not all. Obviously, I was exaggerating. But, I mean, surely it must be a challenge for you to find women to play that really interest you.
No. I don't think that either. I my feeling about everything is I'm just glad I'm working. I mean, I'm just a working woman. Show me a script, and if I'm available, I'll do it.
That's simple.
Well, there are. I mean, frankly, I'm lucky to be working at all.
Really?
Well, don't you think so? I mean, how many women that are my age are working?
You're an Oscar winning. You're a legend. You've done some wonderful work. Is there a reason why you shouldn't be working at all?
I don't know about that. I think I'm really lucky. Really lucky. I mean, so many other people are extremely talented and they're not working. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm happy that I'm in this situation looking at these, little machines here. I'm thrilled to be here. I really am. I mean, this is a nice thing in life. And not a bad birthday present. I'm going to take them all.
I wanted to ask you, you're a mom, but I don't think your kids are at the age yet where you have to do too much of the because I said so, or do you? And how strict of a parent are you?
That is the hardest question. Because I do think their structure is a nice thing to have. It's reassuring for kids, but at the same time, of course, I don't see myself like this mother or like the mother in the family. I think everybody's different. I mean, I think that you find your way. Don't you? Along the way, I think it changes as you go. I think that's what's so amazing about being a parent is that it grows on you in a way that you never would have expected. It's more intense than ever. And as you go, I'm sure it gets even more intense. I mean, my daughter's 11 now, so I'm probably watching her enter into that phase of being, she's a tween. She's already a tween. And that's fantastic. Fantastically amazing to watch because you didn't, when you were going through it yourself, you didn't really picture what it was like to look at a girl grow into womanhood. It's just astonishing. I love it. I feel so sad about the fact that she's growing up, but so amazed by it and touched by it.
But how do you kind of balance the whole thing about not being like your mom, or maybe try to be like your mom?
I think that in some ways I am like my mother, because my mother was a very sensitive woman, and my mother was very supportive of me, so I sort of feel like in some ways I'm like her. I don't think that I'm the same kind of overbearing mother, but I'm probably an overbearing mother. It's just the method of my being overbearing is more hidden maybe, but it's just as intense. I'm sure that a lot of mothers feel that way. So it's just, I guess the way you deal with it. I don't know.
Daphne was a little dreading of turning 60. How did you feel about it?
You know, that's so interesting. Well, you know, my dad died when he was 68, so to turn 60 is like, oh, I'm 60. You know, you really are older. You're very definitely reaching a new phase in your life. And so I really am happy I'm around, number one. I mean, I love being alive and moderately healthy. You know, I think that you just sort of don't even, you just go, okay, all right, moving on. I mean, what can I do? I'm not going to get depressed about it. And I'm also, because I'm sort of amazed by how life has changed so much, and I'm not really who I thought I would be, and the process of living is just much more of a mystery than I ever imagined, and also much more compelling as you go along. And it's like the more you know, the less you know. And the less you know, the more amazed you are by life. And I kind of feel that way. Like when you're young, you're just plowing ahead, going with your goal. And I really, you know, accomplished what I wanted in my dream life, which was to be an actress in the movies. I mean, I got to do that. But then once you do that and once you get older, everything changes, and life is so much more interesting than what I ever imagined it would be. And so a lot of the times, like, the hobbies that I'm interested are as compelling to me, and I never would have thought that I would have been a hobby-type person, but I really am. Like, I'm a collector, and you know, I'm doing a couple of books this year, and I'm trying to do a furniture line, and I want to do as much as I can. I think that what's odd about getting older is you're supposed to roll over and be happy and be calm and relaxed, but the actual opposite has happened with me. I want to do more, pack in as much as I can before it's adios, you know. So
you is baking one of the hobbies?
No. No, food is not mine. I eat it and that's it. Yeah.
Did you eat a lot of the sack? Was there a lot of food around?
No, I didn't. No. But when I ate, I'm not a cook. No. That was fun to sort of be around people who are, but no.
You need to write your memoirs?
You know, I'm not a writer, but I do, you know, my mother kept, you know, her entire, she's got, I guess, like about 100 journals. She kept her entire adult life. She recorded everything and documented everything about her life. And I've started reading that, and also she did a lot of collages with this. And so in some way, you know, I would like, if I knew how, if I had the skill, to kind of, you know, put all that in with, you know, some of what my brother's done, and some kind of a family document, if I could. But my own life, no, but I am fascinated by, I guess we all are, by our own families and what, you know, our life experience has been. So someday I'd like to edit that down, what my mother wrote.
What were your impressions of Mandy?
I love Mandy. The thing about Mandy is, what I really love about her, she's just a little workhorse. She's just like a filly out there. She's just work. She loves to work. And you can see her progress as an actress. I mean, she's a very emotional actress, and she's funny. She's adorable, and she's beautiful to look at. I mean, in this movie, she looks to me like Claudia Cardinale. I mean, she's just got this gorgeous face. And she's really, it's going to be really interesting to watch her in life. I think she's going to be really surprising.
Expect to see in your future?
More. I just think that Mandy Moore. I'm going to see more of Mandy Moore.
This film sort of takes a bit of a premise that the mother-daughter relationship is special, very unique. Do mothers parent their daughters differently than they parent their sons?
Well, you know, honestly, I think it depends on the mother, actually, but I don't know how you would parent two children of the opposite sex the same. They are very different animals, males and females. And so I would say probably it would be different, just like it would be different with any person. But I do have a son, and it's a very different experience than my daughter. It's just wild. And my son is much more, like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He just, everything is there. You know what he feels. He lets you know. He tells you if he loves you. He tells you if he hates you. He's wild and excited about life. And my daughter is much more quietly, she's mysterious. She pulls you into her because she doesn't give as much. Like, he's just like out there, and she's like, you know, like, I'm constantly thinking about, what is she thinking? How is she feeling? And so I think that you all know, I'm sure all of you are parents, or most of you are parents, and so I'm sure you know how unusual each person is as you raise them, and how different they are, and how the process of how they evolve is just absolutely riveting, riveting. And that would be with anybody, you know, just raising any child, anybody. It's a privilege to try. That's the way I feel about it.
I wanted to know how involved you are with a script before taking a role.
Well, I like to put my 2 cents worth in, definitely. I give a lot of notes as much as I can. I mean, I know that, you know, pictures are pretty much what they are, and you can tweak them and mess with them and have little ideas here and there, but the core of what they are is essentially the same, even if you try to pee on it, you know, like most of us do in some way. But so I'm sure it didn't mean much, but yeah, they were wonderful people. Jesse Nelson and everybody, you know, they were, and Michael Lehman, the director, they were very nice about listening to what I had to say. I mean,
line or two that you put in that you remember?
You know, I'm not really a line type. I'm sort of more of the big ideas. I don't mean big ideas, but don't get me wrong. I mean, just, you know, like, well, this scene didn't seem quite right because it's all about, like, the tone of it. I'm interested in the tone. Like, how's the scene working tonally? Does that seem believable? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. You know, that's all.
So once you're on set, you pretty much stick with what's there?
I do. That's the way I do it. Yeah, I because I've agreed beforehand. You know, you make a deal. You say, look, I'm gonna act in your movie. Well, I don't want to, you know, undermine the movie. It's not my job to undermine the movie. My job is to try to do as best as I can with what I can. And, you know, if they want to hear what I have to say and they're agreeable to that, that's fine. But I can't get in the way when you're shooting. I mean, you only have so much time. It's not like, you know what I mean? You don't want to eat it up and destroy all that money that was invested in it. I feel bad for the people who give money, I mean, to finance movies. I mean, that is like, imagine what that's like. What if you know, if a movie cost $100 million, think of that. That's outrageous. That's like a lot of money. And it's sort of, you know, I'm the actor, so let's say I'm in a $100 million movie, which, by the way, I haven't been in. But let's say I am, hypothetically. I don't want to be the person who makes it cost $120. And then what? You know, then they, oh, it's bone chilling. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how people live with it. Sometimes I fantasize about what it would be like to be a studio executive on a $100 million movie the day that it opens. I mean, it's just like, I feel the anxiety inside. I couldn't live with it. I couldn't do it.
Mandy said she was a little embarrassed having to explain what orgasm was in front of you. How was it?
I don't believe that.
How was that sitting there listening to her explain?
It was fun. I loved it. Are you kidding? It was a blast. That was fun. Yeah.
There's no advice given back.
Are you kidding? Never. I wouldn't go near advice on an orgasm. No.
Diane, if I remember correctly, in Shoot the Moon, you have a pre-kiss scene that's also very beautiful. The other part of the movie.
Oh, with Peter Weller. Right? With Peter Weller. Was that? Yes, Peter Weller. That was kind of like, I closed my eyes. I remember that. We were sitting in the living room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it takes forever before it happens. And it makes me think of that.
I never even thought of that. That's interesting you would remember that. I haven't even thought about that. Yeah. You thought this was like that?
The kiss. It was Stephen Collins.
That was fun. I always like to kiss in movies. Any opportunity.
My question is, what do you do to prevent the nervousness before the first kiss or the first date?
Are you talking about in real life? Or are you talking about on a movie, in a movie?
No, real life.
Real life. I don't have dates. I'm not a dater, no. Those days are over. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Do you have an input into any of your older films when they came out to come on DVD? For now? I was thinking, for example, about Reds, which has just been released. I mean,
right.
What kind of input, if any, do you have on that? And do you like going back and seeing some of your earlier work?
No. I don't like to go back and see my earlier work, and I don't want any input.
Is there a favorite film that you still remember with great fondness from?
Well, I always remember with great fondness any movie that did well. And any movie that I experienced the forming of a new friendship. I did a very bad movie called Harry and Walter Go to New York. But you know something? I met two of my dearest friends in my whole life in that movie, and they're still my friends. So, you know, mainly, it's like you remember them fondly if it was a great working experience, or you remember them fondly, like I said, for a friendship, or you really remember them fondly because, you know, they did well. Then you know that you can keep working.
Last question.
I want to ask you two things.
Yeah.
One is about the fashion, because you're so well known for your fashion sense, and I was just wondering if you had input into your wardrobe and jewelry and so forth in the film. And what was my second question? I can't remember right now, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'll answer that. I thought she was kind of a flamboyant gal, this one, but in her own world. I mean, it didn't really connect to anybody at all in life except herself, which also said a lot about how she was like kind of this very extremely, like kind of, in a way, walled off from her own feelings and walled off from the influence of her daughters in that way. And I just think she was a very, she was an eccentric.
Oh, I remember my second question. You talked a little bit earlier about having your hobbies and being a collector or stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? What is it specifically that you like to collect, or what's your main hobbies?
Real estate.
Oh.
I am fascinated by real estate.
And
Pardon me?
You collect real estate?
If I could. I would like to, because, I have fantasies like everyone, and one of my fantasies is that I wish that I could buy up all the old Spanish colonial homes that are about to be torn down and restore them and just let them be so that they have a second chance at life. You know, and obviously, I'm on the board at the LA Conservancy, so this kind of propels me. Like a few months ago, I got to go to the Ennis Brown House, Frank Lloyd Wright's home that is being kind of restored now, thank God, and see what they are starting to do. And I got so excited about it because it's a miracle. The house is just an utter, it's a treasure. It's something that Los Angeles should be so proud of is the architecture that spawned, but nobody sees it because we live in such an odd city because everything is so far away from everything. You don't have this center, this core sensibility. So a lot of it just sort of quietly disappears, all these treasures, all these landmarks. And so that's one of my fantasies about real estate, is really involved with older buildings that are in jeopardy. But, of course, I can't do that. But it's something that I think about and I try. I'm constantly looking. Yeah.